Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, there's going to be great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. It may seem strange that Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, would speak of a tribulation, a time of suffering, and a time of judgment, as mankind has never seen. However, Jesus came to proclaim the truth to the world. You shall know the truth, and it'll set you free. And the truth is that his salvation is tied to God's wrath. Reject his salvation, and his wrath is coming. Henry Thiessen writes, "The tribulation will be, in a true sense, the hour and power of darkness in the world. This should not bring you to fear, since, as a believer, you're saved from it. However, the threat of this hour of evil should inspire a sense of urgency for the lost people of the world. In Joel chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, God promises his will. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, and who can endure it, is the question. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." God is always ready to welcome people back into his arms, so take the commission, proclaim salvation to the lost. Don't allow them to experience that tribulation. Rather, make known God's love so that they will be saved today. Everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Daniel 12:1. Go ahead, put on that broken record. It's going to play for a long time. Protests turned violent in Philadelphia again last night as demonstrators clashed with police. They ransacked stores, of course, beat up a reporter covering the unrest. The city has been gripped by violence after police officers shot and killed a 27-year-old black man on Monday, who they said refused to drop his knife as he advanced toward them. The man identified as Walter Wallace Jr. Police and city officials issued swift statements following the incident and promised an investigation, of course, but their assurances did little to stop the many in the city of love who really see this as yet another example of a black man being killed by police when they say the situation could have been defused. Gotta be there. And here's the kind of stuff that you won't hear on the loony liberal media today. This man was a rapper, an aspiring rapper, who sometimes rhymed about shooting people and shooting the police. He was awaiting trial for allegedly threatening to shoot a woman, according to media reports. He rapped about social justice and police injustice, and yeah. So this is kind of like the bomb that hit Hiroshima, but the lefties will take it. It'll be like a firecracker in your hand when they're done. Maybe even like a sparkler. Who is he? What's his name? Tony Bobulinski. Oh, a former business associate of Hunter Biden. He claimed in an interview yesterday that the family shrugged off concerns that Joe Biden's alleged ties to his son's business deals could put a future presidential campaign at risk. They're still playing that song. Bobulinski, in an interview with Fox, I guess it was Tucker Carlson last night, said that he raised concerns in 2017 to the former vice president's brother, Jim, about Joe Biden's alleged ties to a possible joint venture with a Chinese energy firm. Well, how about that? This man's a retired lieutenant in the U.S. Navy, was the partner with Hunter and the whole family involved, and what in the world was going on? I remember saying very distinctly, how are you guys going to get away with this? Aren't you concerned about the future? Not really. It's called plausible deniability. Okay. Well, U.S. stocks fell today following their European counterparts as investors worried that the latest increase in the coronavirus infections, better known as the plandemic, could halt the global economic recovery. The Dow dropped 823 points. The latest trouble leading some countries to reinstate certain social distancing measures. German Chancellor Angela Merkel called for today for a limited lockdown. Meanwhile, Reuters reported, citing sources, that France was poised to issue a stay-at-home order. And the United States, the state of Illinois, has ordered Chicago to shut down all indoor dining. Does this sound familiar? The coronavirus cases have risen by a record daily average of 71,832 over the past week. My, oh my. The plandemic is on the move. One of our Facebookers doing his job again. Oh, this is good. Thank you, Ron. Maybe it's a coincidence, but isn't it interesting? A drug called Remdesivir, manufactured by Gilead Sciences, is now being reported as maybe the ultimate cure for COVID-19. But what about this? The patent for Remdesivir is currently held by China through an agreement with Gilead's drug patent sharing subsidiary called Unitaid. Unitaid just happens to have an office very near to Wuhan, China. Can you guess who some of the major financial investors are? Oh, I'll bet you know. How about George Soros, Bill and Melinda Gates, and the World Health Organization? Oh, I know what you're thinking. That's just a coincidence. Well, here's another one then. Both Gilead Scientist and Unitaid were financial backers of someone called Hillary Clinton in 2016. And another coincidence? Dr. Anthony Fauci authorized millions of American dollars to be sent to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China specifically for the study of coronaviruses. Oh, did I mention that Dr. Fauci's wife works for Gilead Sciences? Now, what do you think? Nothing to see here, folks. Just keep on moving. Drink the Kool-Aid and get on the train. It's no wonder Dr. Fauci slapped down hydroxychloroquine, which is inexpensive, has been around for 60 years, has a proven safety record, and even though its success rate was very favorable, why? Because he was told to. And the news media backed him up all the way to L.A., as usual. It's amazing what you find out when you follow the money. There are links on our website, gregpatton.com, and on our Facebook page. More news right after this very important message. Hey, you know I'm always asking the question, what did you get out of the Word today? By the way, have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Had time to serve mankind yet today? Huh? How about this? Well, this could be today. For centuries now, people have speculated about the Antichrist and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that before Christ returns, there's going to be great rebellion against God, led by the Antichrist, who will be controlled by Satan. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:4-9. Satan is continually trying to pull you away from your relationship with God, isn't he? He seeks to deceive you, lie to you, destroy all that is godly in your life, 1 Peter 5:8. The spirit of the Antichrist already is at work in the world today. In order not to fall into one of those traps he's laid for you, you need to have a strong foundation in Christ, especially when tough times come like now. Oh, it's happening now. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life by turning away from God when difficulties arise. No, set the focus of your heart on God. He's able to take your deepest sorrow and turn it into something really good. Do you know how to withstand Satan's attacks? You stand firm, you be strong, you have courage and boldness to speak God's word. Spend time studying the word. That's important. Ephesians 6. And make sure you're putting on the whole armor of God each day. That is critical. Strengthen your foundation in Jesus Christ by spending time with him and his word. When you have an absolute unshakable knowledge of his truth, you're going to be able to withstand anything that comes into your life. You will be a light that will guide others to the eternal truth of God's redeeming grace. Warren Wiersbe said it, Jesus Christ will completely overthrow Satan and his system, and that is great news. Oh no, we're not from Moronville. It's become standard fare now for the leftist celebrities, the Hollywood crowd, to proclaim they're letting their children now choose their own genders. What? A pregnant supermodel, Emily Ratajkowski, is the latest, writing in Vogue magazine that she and her husband won't know the gender of their baby until maybe the child is 18 years old, and then they'll let us know what they are. This woman added to her essay, "I like the idea of forcing as few gender stereotypes on my child as possible, but that she doesn't like that we force gender-based preconceptions onto people, let alone babies. I want to be a parent who allows my child to show themselves to me, and yet I realize that while I may hope my child can determine their own place in the world, they will, no matter what, be faced with the undeniable constraints and construction of gender before they can speak or..." Oh my goodness, this woman is nuts. See, it can happen. You can be gorgeous and making millions of dollars and not have a clue. This woman has more loose screws than a hardware store in San Francisco during an earthquake. It's hard to believe some of the things and the thought processes going through the minds of people today. It's what happens when you do not have God or get far away. So who's right here? The leftist loonies, the atheists, the agnostics, they think they are absolutely on target. Meanwhile, conservatives, Christians, they think they're on target. Now, we can't both be right, right? Ready or not, here they come. The ground troops of the anti-Donald Trump resistance aren't just biding their time until Election Day for a heightened Biden. Oh, no. They're making their plans now for direct action checklist, and they're checking those twice before, well, not before Christmas, before the election. But they'll be ready either way. They're training to mess up everything, no matter the outcome at the ballot box. The left-wing mobs preparing to disrupt and destroy this nation in the name of preserving democracy. Michelle Malcolm had a great article on this. She said, "I exposed the pot bangers and lawn crashers of the Sunrise Movement. That's the constantly morphing full-time front group for the Sierra Club that nurtures Rent a Rioter to agitate everything from the Green New Deal to Black Lives Matter to defund the police to the attacks on private homes of Republicans who just delivered the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Another key social justice player, Shut Down D.C., is teaming with Sunrise and their guerrilla warriors to mobilize students, community organizers, and even federal employees. Take to the streets November the 3rd and disrupt everything." That is it in a nutshell, my friend, of the new America you're dealing with. And in the days ahead, I won't be the only one asking, "Where's my gun?" Well, former President Barack Obama hitting the streets yesterday. He kept picking on Donald Trump, who said COVID-19, COVID, COVID, COVID. And that's what the president's been saying. And that's what most of us are thinking. What in the world is going on? And during the course of this crisis, this pandemic, an ongoing and very legitimate national debate has continued about the wisdom of locking you down. The decision to shut down social and commercial activity in the name of health is itself arbitrary. Then the decision to decide what to shut down and what not to shut down, what activities are essential and what is not. These decisions reflect the values and priorities of those with power making them. Most Christians have a totally different opinion. In our increasingly secular society, this is posing enormous problems and challenges for the religious branch of America, your church. Sure it does. Satan will do all he can to keep your doors closed and keep you away from God and God's people. Enough said. And finally, who said that? Well, it is confusing. The Biden family heavily invested in energy and oil in other countries, and they want to end it in our country. And go with me here. What president turned the land of the free into the land of the freeloaders? I'll wait. And today's animal lesson. I've thought about this one for a while. The possum is able to withstand up to 80 rattlesnake bites. Did you know that? And thanks to him, there's an antidote to poisonous snake venom. So don't kill possums. They really are helpful. They don't get rabies, and they do eat ticks, and believe it, they are your friend. Leave that possum alone. Oh, and don't miss this one. Tomorrow, it's a national holiday. It's the National Gray-Haired Grumpy Old Man Day. And I gotta tell you, I'm expecting a lot of recognition. Where's my Bible? Life 101, next. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time, through the kindness of this Christian radio station, The Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Greg Patton Ministries. And we couldn't do it without you and your support, telling others about the broadcast, friending us on Facebook. Many of you, especially in the Tri-City area of Tennessee, doing just that. We say thank you very much. And for those of you providing funds on a monthly basis, oh, you're special. We need you. Greg Patton Ministries, preaching the Word of God coast to coast and around the world. Love to talk to you in your church. Oh, yeah. Get in touch. GregPatton.com. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. GregPatton.com. We started this yesterday, a little bit of God's teaching and testing in our lives and spiritual renewal for the church, a revival, or for you individually. You can have one, you know. The lessons of history are to serve us as we will observe and learn. Revivals and renewals bear striking similarities from the Old Testament to today. We understand there's one going on down in Tennessee, 22 weeks, 7 days a week. That's the real thing, I think. We read from Acts 4, 23 through 37 yesterday, and Colossians 3 would be good reading today. You know, Scripture shows us that God's people, you and I, go through periods of spiritual renewal. Sure we do. And periods of spiritual decline. We might think of these times like waves, troughs, mountains, and valleys in life. That's your history. You're not high all the time. You're not in the pit all the time. Try to stay down the middle. Pretty hard to do. During a renewal, during an awakening, there will not only be a great reviving of Christians, but also a large impact on the problems of society today. I think we're seeing it politically. How did this guy get in the White House, and how's he doing so many things for the conservative, for the Christian especially? The renewal can last for many years, as did the second Great Awakening in America, or it can be rather brief, as it was in the Third Awakening in the late 1850s. You know, when the winds of renewal have passed, the church may enter a period of lethargy, possibly going on for many years, and those cycles have already been repeated many times during the 2,000 years of our church history. It's not only that the Spirit of God cannot sustain the higher life for the Christian. Rather, now get this, the Spirit allows times of decline to cause His people to pray for growth and for power to get our attention. Back in the Old Testament, renewal came to the Israelites under King Jehoash in 2 Kings 11 and 12, King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, and especially under King Josiah, that 8-year-old king. That is an amazing story. I've preached it many times from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Awakening came at the time of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, during the return there from exile in Babylon. Read Ezra 5 and 6, and of course Nehemiah, another great portion of encouragement for all of us. Nehemiah 8, 9, 13, the governor of Judea and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In New Testament times, awakening came upon God's people at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, we read yesterday, the pouring out of the Spirit set a pattern that we'll see in later awakenings. You read of a renewal that prepared the infant church for the fierce persecutions that were going to come. Spiritual awakenings, whether in biblical or church history, manifest patterns that are very similar, often strikingly so. And we're going to talk about five big things that you can notice in a revival and making the church great again. But before that, I thought we would do a little test. Do you live your life with this attitude, if it's good for me, then it's good? Is your life even 1% error? I often say that Satan doesn't care if you're 99% biblical as long as you give him 1%. Now, that's kind of scary. Is your spiritual life today in neutral. God wants victors, not victims. He wants overcomers, not those that are overwhelmed. Troubleshooting your Christian life, how you doing in that walk? Here's a couple of questions that might determine that. Do I constantly rely on Almighty God? Do you really, or is it only in times of trouble and heartache? Am I working hard at pleasing Almighty God? That's a great question for every Christian listening today. Do I really want to obey Jesus Christ? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands and doing it angrily or happily, obeying Christ. Am I learning anything from the Bible? You should every day. What did you get out of the Word today as an example? What did you hear from God on Sunday at your church or Sunday school lesson? Do I put into practice then what I learn? Am I applying it? I ask my church that at the invitation every Sunday. You going to do it this week? Something that God spoke to your heart about? You going to do anything with it, or is it the same old, same old? Have I given up in some areas of my life? Am I building aspects of God's character into my life? Am I a good disciple, in other words? Do I have a love for my fellow believers, those people that sit with me in church? We talk constantly about the big five for a Christian: reading your Bible daily, praying daily, serving God somehow daily, fellowshipping, loving my fellow believers, and being in church on Sunday. Am I willing to, this is so hard for me. Am I willing to love my enemies? Let's think about that one. God said we're supposed to, and I oftentimes say I have other thoughts for my enemies, and loving isn't in the equation. Yeah, it just shows the flesh is really strong there yet. Am I combating the flesh, the world system, lust of the flesh, the pride of life? How are you doing in the troubleshooting here? One more. Am I resisting Satan and his demons in the power of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to sink. Oh, no. He wants you to soar, my Christian friend. So the question remains, how are you doing? Tomorrow we'll talk about this because I believe with all of my heart it's true. I've experienced it. In all these years in the ministry, I have witnessed it so many times, an awakening, a revival in your heart, usually preceded by a time of spiritual depression, apathy, gross sin, in which a majority of nominal Christians are hardly different from the members of society in the New America, and the church seems to be asleep. We'll talk about that. One of the things that fascinated me in the evangelical awakening led by John Wesley and George Whitfield aroused the English conscience, and by direct political pressure and action, cured many of the ills of society at that time. This is a fascinating time to live. Part 3 tomorrow on that renewal, that revival in your heart, in your church. And oftentimes as I'm surveying the news for the day, getting ready to report it, I think this might be it. One woman asks the other, where were you born? The other gal says, the United States. Which part was the next question? The answer, my whole body. My whole body. Yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with today in this new America. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time. Praise the Lord for that. Support us, my friend, and like us on Facebook. I like you. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Get in touch. HelloWorldRadio@gmail. Send your goodies as you have been doing. I love it. Today's instruction, glance at the devil, gaze at God. That's it. For another day, had my say. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time. I mean that sincerely. So, until tomorrow, you have yourself a great Wednesday. I can't wait. See you tomorrow. God bless everybody.